Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus summoned the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over unclean spirits. He instructed them to take nothing for the journey but a walking stick, no food, no sack, no money in their belts. They were, however, to wear sandals, but not a second tunic. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave. Whatever place does not welcome you or listen to you, leave there and shake the dust off your feet in testimony against them." So they went out and preached repentance. The 12 drove out many demons, and they anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, Lord Jesus Christ. A short homily, hopefully a short homily, I'm sure. A short gospel this morning. And it is the theme of the homily this morning, that less is more. Jesus sends out his disciples to preach repentance. And in that gospel reading, you see that many reject that gospel reading. And he says to shake the dust off and go forward, continuing to speak truth. He states there, take nothing in your journey. A walking stick, no food, no sack, no money. Sandals, but not a second tunic. Having the apostles trust in God for everything that they would need to spread the word of God. There is a movement among millennials, which I think is a good movement, and they call it minimalism. Millennials are those from 18 to 34, where they are living in smaller homes. They have supposed to have less possessions, less belongings. They cut their wardrobe. In the 1930s, the average woman had 36 articles of clothing in her closet. Today, the average consumer has about 120, 80% of those unused, unworn, and many with tags on it. This is from a recent study about a year ago that came out. I propose, my brothers and sisters, in this short homily, the theme of minimalism, that less is more. I propose that Jesus Christ is, and God, which is Jesus Christ, is the author of minimalism. God is the creator of minimalism, because it is through minimalism that God can work in our lives without the sound, without the material, without the disruption and all the distraction of our lives. And the theme of minimalism is throughout the Old and the New Testament, where God's ways are not our ways, and he tests his servants through minimalism. For example, in the Old Testament, Gideon had to go against Israel against the Midianites. The Midianites had 135,000 troops. Israel had 32,000. And Gideon says, "God, how would you have me go against these with our only 32,000? And God responds, and this is in the Old Testament, clearly it states, "I'll tell you something further. Ask those 32,000 men who are afraid to go into battle against those 135,000. And 22,000 raise their hands. I'm afraid. I'm out of here. God says, ask those that are afraid to leave, and you will have the men to go against, which leaves them with 10,000 against 135,000. But that wasn't minimal enough. Because God asked Gideon that if I let you fight with 10,000 against 135,000, you may think that you won because you had 10,000. No, you will go with 300 Amen. And the details of the facts are in the Old Testament. So with 300 men in an army of Israel, they defeat the Madianites of 135,000. How he did it is a wonderful story of the providence of God, how he provides for us always with less. With less, but more according to his ways, but less according to the ways of God. And of course, we have the story of David and Goliath. We hear those stories. A new startup company to go against IBM, well, it's like David and Goliath. Well, David was of a small stature, and what happened? He slew the giant. Less is more with God. And the examples go on. In the New Testament, the mustard seed. Have you ever seen a mustard seed? It looks almost a little bigger than a flea. Google the size of a mustard seed. And then Google the size of a full-grown mustard tree. It's unbelievable. Less is more. 12 basic ignorant fishermen are to establish God's Holy Mother Catholic Church, a tax collector, one that would deny him. And then we have St. Paul that persecutes the church, is witness and approves of the stoning of St. Stephen, and God chooses that sinful vessel to be an apostle to the Gentiles. The greatest example of minimalism is God Himself. God Himself. Confined to a post. We will receive Him in about 20 minutes, and that is God. That is God, the creator of the world that made you and me, that didn't have to make you and me, that in the second reading formed us in the womb before the beginning of time to be blameless and holy like Him and to share His very nature and to be like Him. He is confined to a tabernacle, another minimalistic. We may not act or behave or be silent as though God is in the tabernacle, but that is God in the tabernacle. Hence, the sanctuary light for reverence, for silence, for reverence that He is amongst us. Minimalism. The ultimate minimalism of God is His humility. The silence of God. That He can be silent and allow His creatures freedom to choose between evil and good and not impose. Just like a parent needs to let a teenager or a young adult or a child do to learn, that takes strength, that takes courage, that takes will to do that. God in His perfectness is so silent that He gives us freedom to choose between evil and good. The folly of a God that loves us, that will go to anything to show His love for us. What is folly? Folly, the word is tragically foolish actions. There's no parent here that would not do a tragically foolish action to go after a wayward child or to a mother, a father, or to someone that needs our help. We'll do that because of love. More examples of minimalism. Bethlehem. God, the creator of the world, laying on straw. God in Jesus Christ at the washing of the feet, kneeling before Judas, the man that would betray him, that would lead his persecutors to him, gently, quietly, and humbly kneels before Judas and washes his feet. Again, minimalistic, shrinkingness, humility. Jesus mocked as a king, a crown placed on his head. And the story, it continues. So my brothers and sisters, God's ways are minimal. And so I leave you with these thoughts. Less is more. Less is more. God, the creator of all, the ultimate minimalist, will always lead us to more. But God's minimalism comes in the form of what we call the cross. None of us understands the road that we are on. We know that we are baptized Christians. We know that we have a God that loves us, but the actual road that we are traveling on, nobody knows. Nobody understands, because what may happen to us, we may not agree with. With what our perhaps wayward children do, we may not like. What happens above and below us, either our employer or an employee or our surroundings, it's always a shrinking. It's always something that, yeah, we can have great high days, and we can have days that nothing seems to go right. A minimalism, a way where that we don't want. It can be either loss of health, loss of career, aging, life in general. God's designs always, He chooses the weak to confound the strong. And that is in us. He allows us in our weakness, our anxieties, our foibles, our fears to seek Him. And like in the first reading, the prophet, he said, I have taken you out of the flock to prophesy, to teach. But we have to teach ourselves first before, and not teach, we can't. It's hard to preach. We only can live our lives as a child, a son and daughter of God in peace, knowing that whatever God allows, that if it shrinks us, if it's a beam on our shoulder where we feel that that's not the way it should be, it is original sin. I know better. It is not the way it should be. When we are forsaken, when we are wrongly judged, when we suffer somebody that is crossed, a humiliation, we are reduced. Our pride is hurt. Our feelings are hurt. It is then we can glory in God and think of Christ. Our job is not so much to understand God, because we can't understand Him. Our gift from God is that we're able to possess God. We can possess God in our hearts and our minds, our souls, because He has told us clearly, Christ, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But that way and that truth and that life is not the way and the truth and the life of the world. And so all we can do is live God's ways. And those that will accept us as a child of God will accept us. And those that we won't, we move on. And we pray for them. And we shake the dust as Christ told His apostles. If they do not listen to you, you shake the dust from your feet and go forward. Without a pansy feeling like, oh, well, He doesn't want you. No. Love your brother and sister. Those that agree, those that don't agree, those that love you, those that don't love you, and those that hurt you. So our blessedness is not in knowing everything, but in possessing God. I leave you with this quote of St. Augustine. Human nature has been predestined to so marvelous, so sublime, so perfect a dignity that it cannot be raised higher. My brothers and sisters, let us not squander the gifts of His holy will. That holy will that, yes, will reduce us at times, will elevate, but it can reduce. And so with the fluctuations of life, those fluctuations are leading us to be like our God, our Maker, our crazy lover that will go to any extent to show us His love. Let us respond to that love by loving ourselves and seeking truth, God's truth, not what the world will teach us, that minimalism and that weakness. Nobody wants to be weak. Don't worry, God will take care of us, teaching us our weakness. We don't have to seek it. But through our weakness, we are strong and will be able to live a life high on Christ, as St. Paul says, now and forever with Him in heaven.